الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim nation from whatever he feared for his nation. Yesterday, we mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam the news of the previous prophets. And this helped the Prophet alayhi salam to be patient and steadfast in conveying the message. And also, Al-Imam Zainul Abideen, Ali ibn al-Husayn, ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, mentioned that they used to be taught the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as they were taught the chapter of the Quran. In summary, we said that by knowing the lives and the events that took place with previous nations and previous people, Muslims will be able to understand better the texts, the Quran and the Sunnah. And because if they know the life of the Prophet, they know when such verses were revealed, the circumstances that surround the revelation, and this will give them a better way of following the example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We mentioned that since he's an excellent example to follow, then we need to know his statements and his actions to be able to follow his example. And we said we're going to have a prelude, some information that leads to the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this information is relevant. And we started yesterday by talking about the birth of Prophet Ismail alayhi salam. We said that Ibrahim had a wife called Sarah, and they went on a trip to Egypt, which was ruled by a pharaoh who used to force married women to have intercourse with him, to commit zina. And when he approached Sarah, he could not touch her. His hand froze 3 times, and at the last, in the end, he wanted her to leave his land, and he gave her a gift, a slave woman called Hajar or Hagar. And Lady Sarah later gave this Hagar or Hajar, the slave woman, a gift to her husband Ibrahim from a relation between Ibrahim and the slave woman, his own slave woman, a relation which is Islamically a lawful relationship. A boy was delivered. This boy was called Ismail or Ishmael, meaning the obedient slave of Allah. And we said that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam urged the Muslims when he addressed his companions. He said, when you conquer Egypt, make sure you treat its people nicely and kindly, because there is a blood relation between me and them. And we explained that this is true because The mother of Ismail is Hajar, and she is from Egypt, and Ismail happened to be one of the grandfathers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in that sense, there is some blood relation between Prophet Muhammad and the Egyptian people through Hajar. So because of one parent, this Hajar, the Prophet urged the Muslims to be kind to the people of Egypt. Inshallah, today we want to continue and talk about establishing the city of Mecca. We said that Hajar gave birth to Ismail while the wife Sarah was still barren, has not carried any child for her own husband. So the wife Sarah felt some jealousy against the slave woman Hajar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Ibrahim that he should take Hajar and her son, or their son Ismail, out of that area and go to Arabia. And of course, Ibrahim, being a very obedient slave of Allah, prophet of Allah, he carried out the order and he accompanied Hajar and their son Ismail. They went to an area which nowadays would be the area within the boundaries of Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Mecca, where the Kaaba stands today. At that time, however, of course, the time of Ibrahim's visit with these two people, Hajar and his son Ismail, no buildings stood up in that area. There were no people living there. There was no water source. So the Kaaba at that time had been there, but the Kaaba was built by Prophet Adam alayhi salam, erected in that area. But during the time of the flood of Prophet Nuh, the Kaaba was demolished in that flood. So the foundations of Al-Kaaba were underground, but the Kaaba itself had not been there. So Ibrahim alayhi salam took these two dear people, his slave woman Hajar and his son Ismail, took them to that barren area that has no people, no water there. And they had a bag of dates and a leather canteen filled with water. Then, after he left them, he turned his back to them and then moved away from them towards Palestine, the area from which he came with these two people. When Hajar looked around, she noticed that they are left alone. She's left alone with her son. She followed Ibrahim. And she said, "Oh, Ibrahim, where are you going? Are you leaving us in a valley that has no water, no food, no companions, or anything else? There is nothing." So she kept on repeating her question several times. When she realized that Ibrahim would not give her an answer, that he was not answering, she asked him the following. "Is it that," means are you doing this, "is it that God ordered you to leave us here to do this act?" He said, "Yes." And she said, "Then we will not be lost." And then she returned to her son. So there was no argument. He told her that he confirmed that God had ordered him to leave them there. She resigned to the will of Allah and his order, and she returned to her son. Prophet Ibrahim left them, as we said, and then he reached an area, a location, where both Hajar and, of course, son Ismail would not be able to see him anymore. And he turned and faced the location that would be the place of Al-Kaaba nowadays. And he lifted his hands and he supplicated, made a supplication to God. And this supplication is revealed in Al-Quran. Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Ibrahim said this dua. It's verse 37 of Surah Ibrahim in the Quran. Ibrahim, we are told, said, Rabbana inni askantu min durriyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in 'inda baytikal muharram rabbana liyuqimu as-salah faj'al af'idatan minan nasi tahwi ilayhim warzuqhum min ath-thamarati la'allahum yashkurun. So this verse means verse 37 of the chapter called Ibrahim. It means Ibrahim, Prophet Abraham, addressed God in his supplication. He said, O our Lord, I have settled part of my family in a valley that does not have any cultivation. By means next to your sacred house to perform prayers and worship. O God, make people with loving hearts come to them and give them sustenance to be thankful to you. O our Lord, I have settled part of my family in a valley that does not have any cultivation. By your sacred house, means by the area of Al-Kaaba, to perform the prayers and worship. O God, make people with loving hearts come to them and give them sustenance to be thankful to you. Of course, Ibrahim alayhi salam did not leave these two dear people, Hajar and the son Ismail, out of cold-heartedness. He deeply loved them, but he was ordered by Allah to leave them there, and he left them there upon the order of God. Of course, Ibrahim loved God the most, and he obeyed God at all times. Now, Ibrahim is away. Hagar, or Hajar, the slave woman, the mother, with a nursing baby, Ismail, were there by themselves. She was drinking from the water, nursing her child, eating from the dates. And then there came a time when the canteen of water ran out of water, and she and her blessed son became thirsty. So she watched them struggling from thirst. She hated to see her son in that situation. So she had to act upon this situation. So she left him and went towards a mountain closest to her, and that mountain was called Mount As-Safa. Remember, he left her, Ibrahim left them in a valley. So a valley, by definition, is something between mountains. So she went, directed herself, she just moved towards the closest mountain to her, which happened to be the mountain called As-Safa, Mount As-Safa. So Hajar climbed the mountain and looked over the valley to see if anyone was there. She did not see anyone. So she climbed down that mountain. And then when she reached the valley, she raised the hem of her dress and trekked her way through the valley the way an exhausted person would do, until she crossed it. Remember, she went to the mountain, went up, she did not see anyone, then she went down, she left the hem of her dress, and trekked, means moved fast towards, across the valley to another mountain called Mount Al-Marwa, the mountain Al-Marwa. And then she climbed up the mountain. At the top of that mount, she looked to see if there she could find anyone. She did not. So what did she do? She went back to the valley and then climbed the first mountain, Mount As-Safa, up. She did not find anyone. She came down, crossed the valley, went to the mountain again, Mount Al-Marwa. She did not find this. So she did this trip 7 times. She started at Al-Marwa, at As-Safa, went to Al-Marwa, then back, and she did this trekking, or, you know, fast movement between these two mounts, As-Safa and Al-Marwa, 7 times. Of course, in hope of seeing someone to help her. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, in the hadith narrated by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, he mentioned that she did this walking between the two mountains, and he indicated that why in the Hajj, when Muslims perform Hajj, they do this sa'i, this fast walking between the two mountains, in remembrance of Lady Hajar alayha salam or radiyallahu anha, that she did this sa'i 7 times between the mountain. And of course, this diligent work, the walk between these mountains, is done by the people who perform Hajj and Umrah. But these mountains nowadays are leveled. So when people go to Hajj, they don't see mountains, they don't see hills. They just see maybe 2 rocks here and there, and the area between them is leveled. So before, there used to be, you know, small mountains between that area. So after her 7th trip between the mountains, she heard a sound. Lady Hajar heard a sound. So she silenced herself and she listened carefully what she was listening to. And she called out. She said, "If you can rescue us, then I have heard your sound." Means if you saw there is someone around and they want to help us, we're ready, we got the message. So if you can rescue us, I have heard your sound. When she finished her sentence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her with seeing, blessed her to see an angel. And the angel bored a hole in the ground until water came out from under the ground. And when Hajar saw that, she rushed to make a basin to contain the water so the water would not run on the surface of the desert. And you know, it's very hot. She was worried that the water would be lost. So she filled her container with water that she collected inside that basin. And as she drank and filled, the basin kept being replenished. The water kept on springing up in that basin. Now, because Hajar made that basin, did not allow the water to run freely, the water was contained and did not run on the surface of the ground. And Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam said in the hadith, "May God endow the mother of Ismail with his mercy." Rahim Allahu Umma Ismail. May God endow the mother of Ismail with his mercy. Had she left the water flowing without containing it in a basin, the water of Zamzam would have been flowing on the surface of the earth, and people would have been taking their needs from it. So Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam did tell us that whatever water sprung from under the ground that Lady Hajar contained in that basin was the water that we know nowadays, or Muslims knew long time ago, as the water of Zamzam. So Hajar drank and, of course, nursed her child. The angel told her, "Do not fear. you will neither be lost nor you will perish in this location. He told her that in this location where they are staying, her son and his father, Ibrahim, would build a house of God, and that God does not let those who are pious get lost. So he told her, your son Ismail and his father Ibrahim will in the future build a house of worship in this spot. And not to worry, Allah will not let her down. Help would be coming. So, of course, we already mentioned that although this woman Hajab was a slave, which is not at the highest point, you know, level of social status, although she was a slave, Muslims from different areas on earth, different kinds, different species, different cultural background, ethnicity, etc., Muslims from all over the earth who come to perform al-Hajj, they reenact the movements of Lady Hajar by performing as-sa'i 7 times from as-Safa to al-Marwa. So we should know that Muslims follow the example of Hajar in that act, and this tells us that Islamically, we do not look at the money that a person owns, the status, social status the person has. What counts Islamically is the piety of the person. Allah said in Al-Quran, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, that certainly the most honorable to Allah are the ones who are the most pious, the most obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should, inshallah, learn lessons from this event that took place with Lady Hajar and her son Ismail. Now, Hajar and her son Ismail were by themselves for some time until people from an Arab tribe called Jurhum passed nearby. They came from the area called Kada, a place next to Mecca. And these people saw in the sky a wandering bird circling the area. And it was not landing. The bird was just circling without going down and landing. But it seems that it wanted to come down. They said this is a sign of having water in this area. But they said our experience with this area, it doesn't have water. So why would the bird do that? They found the behavior of the bird peculiar. So they sent their scout to, you know, investigate to find out what's happening there, because they knew there was no water. So they sent 2 men to check it out. And then they saw, of course, the water next to Lady Hajar and her son Ismail. So they told their tribe, the caravan, and then, of course, they came. And then they asked Hajar permission to stay next to the water. And she agreed to that, but she made it clear to them that the water was her own water, not theirs. She would allow them to use the water, but she would be in control of that water. They accepted, and they decided to reside in that location, and they sent after the remaining of their people to come and live in that area to join them there. They enjoyed living there. Ismail grew up among them, and from these Arabs, from the tribe of Jurhum, Ismail grew up learning Arabic. He learned the Arabic language. Now, Prophet Ibrahim had left them in that area by themselves, but he did not forget about them. He did not just neglect them. He used to come periodically visiting them, riding from Palestine to Arabia, to the area of Mecca where they were residing, riding al-buraq, an animal from paradise. And then he would stay for some time with them, and then he would leave back to the area of Ash-Sham, the area of Palestine. And this was happening, you know, regularly, as we said, periodically. Now, the author said, rebuilding of the Kaaba. As Ismail grew, Prophet Ibrahim noticed the intelligence about his son and the readiness of Ismail to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, I was talking with one of my friends today, and I was making a remark about his five-year-old, you know, child, that she was smart, you know, that it was noticeable. And he was telling me that she, on her own, last year, means when she was about 4 years old, she was fasting on her own. He didn't tell her to fast. She just, you know, saw her older brother fasting. She wanted to fast on her own. And you know, Islamically, if the child is not mumayyiz, means is not at an age where the child could answer questions when asked, could understand what's being addressed with, could, for example, be independent in eating on their own, using the bathroom on their own. If they don't reach this age of mental discrimination, then they are not ordered to pray or to fast. They don't make wudu to pray. They don't pray. And also, they don't fast the month of Ramadan, because tamyiz is a precondition or prerequisite to having such acts valid. For hajj, a child under that age may do hajj with the help of the guardian, and it will be acceptable and rewardable. But other than that, the child has at least to be mumayyiz, mentally discriminant, to be able to do such acts, means to be ordered by the guardian. So, Ibrahim, alayhi salam, noticed the readiness of his child, his son, to obey Allah, and noticed that he was, you know, intelligent. So he was hopeful, Ibrahim, that he would see a lot of goodness from his son, Ismail, alayhi salam. So, before his other son was born, because Sarah, his wife, later after Ismail was born, she gave birth to a child, to a son, whose name is Isaac or Ishaq. So before this happened, before Ishaq's birth, or Isaac's birth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjected Prophet Ibrahim to a difficult test. He was ordered, Ibrahim was ordered to end the life of his dear child, Ismail. Ismail was what? The first son of Ibrahim. Of course, his father loved him and cherished him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjected Ibrahim to this difficult test. And the purpose is to show that Ibrahim was quick to obey Allah. Means when we know about it, means when it's revealed to Prophet Muhammad, for example, or to the prophets after Ibrahim, when these Muslims, followers of these prophets, would know about what happened, then they would realize that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was quick to obey Allah, did not hesitate to carry out the orders of God. So this is the purpose of subjecting Ibrahim to such a difficult matter. So Ibrahim had a dream. And in the dream, he was slaughtering his son Ismail. Being a prophet of Allah, he knew that that was an order from Allah, revelation from Allah, to carry out the slaughtering of his son Ismail. Remember, a prophet is a man who receives revelation from Allah. And what is revelation? Revelation is orders, information from God that the Prophet receives. And this revelation is received by the Prophet in different ways. It takes different modes. For example, the dream is one of these modes. A Prophet may see in the dream orders from Allah to do something. So, رُؤْيَا الْأَنْبِيَاء وَحِي, as the Prophet Muhammad said, that the visions or the dreams of prophets are a kind of revelation. Another way is to send an angel, and mostly it is Angel Jibreel alayhi salam. Angel Gabriel is the angel in charge of conveying revelation to the prophets of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam. Sometimes it could be another angel, but most of the time it is Angel Jibreel. Also, a prophet may have information lodged, instilled into his heart. The prophet would understand what is being in his heart and then carries out that order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Prophet Musa and Prophet Muhammad alayhim as-salam had also revelation. Allah spoke to them directly. Allah spoke to both Moses and later to Muhammad directly. So both of them heard the eternal kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means the kalam is an attribute of Allah that doesn't have a beginning or an end. It's not letters. It's not a language. It is an attribute of Allah that is different from the attributes of the creation. So any prophet of Allah is a man who receives revelation, you know, via these modes of revelation. Now, we said that also there are other men who receive revelations called messengers. And a messenger is a prophet. However, the messenger receives certain rules, set of laws we call Sharia, that the prophets do not receive. So messengers would receive rules, and a messenger who received a rule, then these rules would tell people how to pray, how to fast, what's lawful, what's not lawful, and so on. And any prophet that comes after that messenger is ordered to follow the rules that were received by this messenger. Adam was the first prophet and messenger. Then his son Sheth was the second one. Then Idris was the third. Noah, Nuh was the fourth. And so on. Over time, Allah sent 330 messengers and more than 120,000 prophets. Muhammad is the last of these prophets and messengers. Adam was the first of those prophets and messengers. Moses is a prophet and messenger. Jesus is a prophet and messenger. Abraham is a prophet and messenger. So these, Noah, for example, is a prophet and messenger. Abraham, we mentioned him. So Prophet Ibrahim saw this dream. He realized that this is a revelation to him. And, of course, if he's ordered to slaughter his son, being a prophet, he would carry such an order without hesitation. So without a delay, any delay, Ibrahim told his son to bring some rope and a knife and to go with his father along a certain path of Mecca. And this path or route is called the route of Thabir. Thabayara. So a route in Mecca. So on their way, when they were going that way, Satan, Ash-Shaytan, the devil, Iblis, appeared to them, means to Ibrahim and his son. And he wanted to block Ibrahim from fulfilling the order of Allah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam did not, you know, pay attention to this creature, this evil creature. He just flung pebbles at him, and meaning that I don't, you know, pay attention to you, I refuse to listen to you. And of course, such an act of throwing pebbles in that area, which now is known as the area of Jamarat in Mina. Nowadays, this is the area where Muslims who perform Hajj would throw certain number of pebbles in a certain, you know, spot. And the significance, of course, is that those Muslims who are performing Hajj and throwing these pebbles at that, in that area, are saying, look, if the devil nowadays shows to us in that area, we will throw these pebbles at him. And just like Prophet Ibrahim threw the pebble at him, we will degrade this devil, we will reject his promptings, and we will throw these pebbles at him. So this is the significance of this act of Hajj, throwing pebbles in that area. Not that a shaitan would be sitting there and people would be throwing pebbles at him. That's not what it means. It means if he showed up to us, we will throw these pebbles at him, rejecting him, humiliating him, as Ibrahim did. So when this Satan, this devil, was despaired at misleading Ibrahim, because Ibrahim was what? A prophet of Allah. And you know, the prophets have attributes that are specific to them. One of these attributes is that they are protected against committing blasphemy. So no prophet, before becoming a prophet and while being a prophet, no prophet ever commits any act of blasphemy, any words of blasphemy or any actions of blasphemy or any thoughts of blasphemy. No prophet would do such things. So Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail and Prophet Isa and Prophet Musa and Prophet Muhammad, every prophet of Allah never committed any act of blasphemy. Allah protected them against such a foul act. Also, all prophets are protected against committing enormous sins, like killing people unjustly, committing zina, sexual intercourse, which is illegal, for example. So they would not commit, for example, drink alcohol and get drunk. No prophet ever committed an enormous sin at all. For example, as we mentioned in previous lessons, we said Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when that woman in Egypt called him to sleep with her, he did not even entertain that idea in his mind. Never, it didn't occur to him to do such an act. He just ran away from her. And of course, we talk about Prophet Ibrahim, that he did not worship the idols, he smashed the idols, and similarly for other prophets of Allah. So Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam did not listen to this devil. And when the shaitan, this devil, despaired at misleading Ibrahim, who is protected, his masoom, then he directed his effort towards the son, this child who was in his, you know, teenage. He directed his effort towards him. So he went to Ismail and he said to him, "Oh, young man, do you know where your father is taking you?" And Ismail responded, "To get wood for our family from this place, from this route." And of course, this is what Ismail thought he was doing. His father did not tell him why they were going through that path, through that route. He just told him, "Get that rope, get that knife, let's go." And he assumed that if we are carrying the rope and we have a knife, then we're going to go and cut some logs, some wood, and collect it, put it in the rope, and bring it back home. So that's what he assumed, and he said what he thought he was doing. So the devil said to him, by God, means I swear by God, he only wants to slaughter you. So the devil who blasphemed, who, you know, rejected to carry out the orders of God, is swearing by God. You could see how tricky he is. Okay? He said, by God, your father wants only to slaughter you. Ismail asked, why? Why would he do that? The devil said, your father claims that his Lord, his God, ordered him to do the slaughtering. Ismail said, well, then let him do that which his Lord ordered him to do. This is God's order, then let my father carry out the orders of God. Means I will not stand, you know, preventing him from that. So when Ismail also did not listen to the devil, to Satan, so Satan, what did he do? Went to the mother of Ismail, to Hajar, rahimahullah, and he asked her, do you know where Ibrahim took Ishmael? She said, he went to bring us wood. And the devil told her, he only took him there to slaughter him. She said, no, Ibrahim is very loving to his son and too merciful to slaughter his son. The devil said, he claims God ordered him to do that. Ibrahim claims that God ordered him to do that. This is the devil's response. Then Hajar said, if this was the order of God, then we submit to the order of God. So Satan, the enemy of God, left what? A loser. He could not, you know, dissuade this family, could not take this family away from the path of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his words did not fluster this family. So all of them were agreed to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when Prophet Ibrahim was alone with his son on that route of Thabir, he addressed his son by saying the following. And all of this is in Al-Quran. So we are paraphrasing, explaining to you the meaning of these verses in Al-Quran. And of course, it's mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ibrahim said, addressing Ismail, O son, I've seen in my dream that I'm slaughtering you. إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى. So he said, so what do you have to say? I saw in the dream I'm slaughtering you. What do you have to say about it? Ismail said, O father, يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر. O father, do that which you are ordered by God to do. And he said, God willing, you will find me patient. You will find me patient. ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين, as mentioned in Al-Quran. So Ismail then, after he said those words to his father, he said the following words to his father. He said, O father, if you want to slaughter me, means when you are ready to slaughter me, then tie me with a rope, and tie me well so that my blood would not splatter on you and stain you. Because if you slaughter me, I may move, shiver, etc. So my blood may just splatter on you. So in order to avoid that splatter on you and staining you, make sure you tie me well with the rope. The pains of death are intense. This is Ismail's statement. The pains of death are intense, and I may shake under the throes of death. Sharpen your blade, so you are quick to finish me. When you want to slaughter me, do it in a way that you cannot see my face and that I do not see the blade. It means to avoid getting scared of it. If you want to take my clothing back to my mother for her to cherish, do so. So these were the statements of Ismail alayhi salam. Prophet Ibrahim, in response to this, these statements from his son, he said, "You are such a good assistant to me in carrying out the orders of God. You are such a good assistant, helper to me in carrying out the order of God." Then Ibrahim tied his son Ismail down, sharpened his blade, as Ismail had suggested. Then Ibrahim made sure that he was not looking at the face of his son while doing the slaughtering. He placed the blade on the throat of his son, and he was ready to slaughter his son. At that point, when this was happening, an angel called Ibrahim and told him, "O Ibrahim, you have fulfilled the order of God." And ya Ibrahim, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا, as mentioned in Al-Quran. And this angel was Angel Jibreel himself. He told him, "Take this sheep and sacrifice in place of your son," as it is cited in verse 107 of Surah As-Saffat. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. So a ram which had been grazed or been grazing in paradise was to be slaughtered instead of Ismail alayhi salam. And this, of course, why Muslims who perform Hajj or Muslims who are not performing Al-Hajj away from the area of Mecca, on the day of Eid al-Adha, they slaughter a sacrifice, Udhiya or Dhabiha, in remembrance of the obedience of Ibrahim to his Lord, sacrificing his son Ismail. Instead of Ismail, a ram was to be slaughtered. And of course, people go to Hajj, they go away from their families, they spend money, a lot of money, to perform Hajj, and then in that Hajj, during that Hajj day, buy an animal and slaughter it in obedience to Allah. Then this meat is, you know, distributed to the poor people of Mecca, as you already know. Now, in the Torah that people read nowadays, and they have been reading for a while, which is not the same Torah that Prophet Moses received, so this is a perverted book, people claim that the son who was supposed to be slaughtered of Abraham was Isaac, Ishaq, and not Ismail, Ishmael. They claim that Isaac was the one to be slaughtered, not Ismail. And we know that Ismail was the older son. And they, in their book, they say the older son was to be slaughtered. So, without a doubt, Ismail was the sacrifice and not Prophet Ishaq or the other son Ishaq. Now, this ram had two horns. The ram that was slaughtered instead of Ismail, the two horns of that ram, that sheep from paradise, hung on the Kaaba, the structure that you know, for people to see for many hundreds of years. They were still there on the Kaaba hanging when Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam lived. And they continued, these two horns, continued to be there until the rulership of Abdullah ibn Zubayr. It means Prophet Muhammad lived and died, then Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali, then Al-Hasan, then Muawiyah, and then during the rulership of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, which means 73 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, until that time the two horns were still hanging on Al-Kaaba. In the year 73 Hijri, 73 years after the emigration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Kaaba itself was set ablaze. It was burnt by an unjust man. And then when the Kaaba burnt, these two horns were destroyed in that dreaded fire. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam, after this event, he moved away, means from Mecca, and then came back later when his son was older. And at that time, Ismail became a man, and Prophet Ibrahim saw him working on his arrows, working on sharpening, preparing the arrows for hunting. And where Ismail was, where he was sitting next to the area of Zamzam water, that water that sprung long time ago when Ismail was a nursing child. So when he saw his father, of course, he stood up and greeted his father respectfully. His father hugged him, and of course, he treated him as a loving father towards his loving child. And he told his son Ismail, "Oh Ismail, Allah ordered me to do something." Ismail said, "Well, do what God ordered to you to do. Do what Allah ordered you to do." Did he say such a statement before? Remember, when he was ready to slaughter him, when he told him, Allah ordered me to slaughter you, he said, "Do what Allah ordered to you to do." Now he told him, "Allah ordered me to do something." He said, "Just carry out the orders of Allah." He said, "Would you assist me? Would you help me?" Ismail said, "Yes." And Ibrahim told him, "Allah ordered me to build a house over there." And he pointed to the area where the Kaaba stands today. And together, Ibrahim and Ismail laid down the foundation for the house, building the Kaaba. And Ismail would bring the stones to his father, and his father would undertake the construction, erecting the building, until they finished rebuilding the Kaaba in the same location where Prophet Adam alayhi salam had originally built it. Now, you should know that Hajar, the mother of Ismail, died before the wife Sarah, and she died in the area of Al-Hijaz, where Mecca is. After that, Sarah, the wife, the mother of Isaac, died in the land of Asham. The land of Asham consists of Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and Palestine. So Sarah died in the area of Asham. And then it is narrated that after these two women died, Prophet Ibrahim married a woman from the people of Canaan, a Canaanite, and this woman bore children for Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم